ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Chapter 10. श्री भगवान वाच भूयैव महाभाहो शृणु मे परमं वचः यत्तेहं प्रीयमाणाय वक्ष्यामि हितकाम्यय तमे विदुसुरगणाः प्रभवं न महर्षयः अहमादिर्हि देवानां महर्षीणां च सर्वशः यो मामजमनादिं च वेति लोकमहेश्वरम् असम्मूढस्समर्थेषु सर्वपापैः प्रमुच्यते बुद्धिर्ज्ञानमसम्मोहः क्षमा सत्यं तमः शमः सुखं दुःखं भवो भावो भयं चाभयमेव च अहिंसा समता तपो दानं यशो यशः भवन्ति भावा भूतानां मत्त एव पृथक्विदाः महर्षयः सप्त पूर्वे चत्वारो मनवस्तथा मद्भावा मानसा जाता येषां लोक इमा प्रजा एतां विभूतिं योगं च मम यो वेत्ति तत्त्वतः सोऽविकल्पेन योगेन युज्यते नात्र संशयः अहं सर्वस्य प्रभवो मत्तः सर्वं प्रवर्तते इति मत्वा भजन्ते मां बुधा भावसमन्वितः चित्ता मद्गतप्राणा बोधयन्तः परस्परं जयन्तश्च मां नित्यं पुष्यन्ति च रमन्ति च तेषां सततयुक्तानां भजतां प्रीतिपूर्वकं ददामि बुद्धियोगं तं येन मामुपयाति हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे
हरे।
Thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me, Krishna says, and their lives are fully devoted. You can now tell what she said for everyone. You can tell. Definition of Prabhupada, what Prabhupada says in Krishna book, rendering all our services in this world for Krishna while maintaining a longing to meet Him. That is called as Krishna consciousness.
So, if you
Thank you.
सतत युक्तानां भजतां प्रीतिपूर्वकं ददामि बुद्धियोगं तम् येन मामुपयान्ति ते। To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. In each of these four Chatushlaki verses, and there are some keywords which are very important. Similarly, in this verse, Bhajatam Priti Purvakam. That is the key, most important keyword. As well as Dadami Buddhi Yogam. So one is done by the devotee and the another one is done by the Lord. So if the devotee does Bhajatam Priti Purvakam, then what does the Lord do? Dadami Buddhi Yogam. Srila Prabhupada would quote this verse often. Dadami Buddhi Yogam. So once Srila Prabhupada was speaking a lecture in Tokyo and he made this point on Bhajatam Priti Purvakam. How the devotee should chant the holy names with Priti, Priti Purvakam. Priti Purvakam means with great love. Generally Priti, if you see the word to word translation for Priti, what is Prabhupada saying Priti here? Priti Purvakam means loving ecstasy. Priti is also defined in Bhagavatam. What is this Priti? Just like a man would sometimes go through jungles, or he may have to cross mountains, or he may have to cross oceans to do some business and work hard and earn some money. And while working so hard, he undergoes lot of difficulty. But in the background of his mind, he is thinking of his family members. I am working so hard ultimately for my family members. And they will be happy by this. And he is just thinking that I am going to return home with all this hard-earned wealth. And then they will all become happy. The very thought makes him very happy. So this hard endeavor that one puts in with the idea of pleasing another is called as Priti. Just like Jiva Goswami explains it more elaborately with an example. Sometimes a man may come to a city, and a man who is utterly in bodily consciousness, he doesn't know anything about the soul. Then he comes to a city living outside his village. In city he doesn't have a place to live, he doesn't have food to eat, and he doesn't have any friends. And he's going door to door seeking a job, and then somehow or other he gets a job. And he earns some money and he uses a small fraction of that money for himself, say 5% of that money. He eats some dry chapatis and chickpeas and he spends his day. He even may sometimes be lying down on the platform or in a chal somewhere. But he saves that 95% of the money and sends it to his house. And in the heart he is thinking, because I have sent all this money, now my son must be drinking milk. And he must be growing stout and strong. And that gives him very great joy. Now someday I will go back home and see that my wife is happy, my children are happy. So this is a material example of how a person feels more joy and satisfaction in pleasing somebody else other than one's own self. In the same way, devotees of Krishna have a relationship with him. Krishna's devotees, they work hard. They are ready to take any amount of trouble in their life, but for the pleasure of Krishna, to please Krishna. That is called as Priti. So Krishna expects that his devotees perform devotional service with this Priti. He says, Bhajatam Priti Purvakam. Then there is devotion. When we talk of words like devotion or sacrifice or love, these things cannot be performed without a strenuous effort, without any endeavor. Many people claim to have devotion, but Srila Prabhupada taught what is devotional service. Devotional service, devotion is not just devotion, it is devotional service to the Lord. And that may involve many difficulties. That's why Lord says, Tesham Satata Yuktanam, he says. Satata means always, not occasionally, not whenever you feel like, but every day. Shunvata Shardaya Nityam Vrinatascha Sucheshtitam Kalena Nati Dirgena Bhagavan Chitehari. It is said Shunvata Shardaya Nityam. Again, the word Nityam is used. Nityam means every day. Like we say this prayer in Bhagavatam, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Yuktama Shloki Bhakti Bhagavatam. So devotional service is not performed during some season in the year, or it is not performed occasionally whenever our mind feels like, but devotion service is done every day. Indeed, it is done every minute and every second. At least we should do it every day first, then we can do 24 hours and we become very advanced. So he uses the word Tesham Satata Yuktanam. Satata means at all times. Satata Yuktanam. My devotees are engaged 24 hours in my service. That is, they give their whole consciousness to devotional service. Bhajatam Priti Purvakam. So devotional service should be done with loving devotion. There are many people performing devotion in the name of performing devotion, which is not devotion. And something may be going on in this world as devotion, and based on this verse you can understand how it is not. Like, there are so many professional reciters singing Srimad Bhagavatam verses. There are many sahajyas who are also claiming to be devotees. Like in Pune, one time a gentleman invited me to his house to attend some sakhiji's program. some Vrindavan sakhi has come, he said. And then he said, the sakhi is a man who is dressed like a sakhi. He dresses like a gopi and he dances very beautifully, and different gestures he shows. So he cries in between, rolls on the ground and things like that. So these are sahajyas who don't have genuine devotion, but they have a show bottle devotion. They claim to be Krishna's devotees, they claim to have achieved the love of the gopis for Krishna, but behind their background they will be doing sense gratification. Their mind is constantly focused on enjoying the senses. So it is simply a display of devotion. Even we all can see in our own personal lives, in the early days of Krishna consciousness, sometimes some devotee gets tears in the eyes while taking darshan or while hearing some music. And then after some time he will go back to sense gratification again. So we can easily know that it is not devotion at all. It is just some shadow of devotion. It is not genuine devotion. Sometimes you start thinking, probably I have become a pure devotee today. I have been chanting maybe 6 months to 1 year. Probably bhava has got awakened. So the easy proof that we are not pure devotees is that our attachment to sense gratification is not gone. We are holding on to that Bhogaishwarya Prasadana. So there are so many people making a display of devotion, which is not devotion. Here the Lord says, what is the standard of devotion? Standard of devotion is that there should be priti in the heart of the devotee. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to South India, in the Rangachetra, there was one Brahman coming every day to the temple and reciting all the 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. And he was trying to read all the verses, and there were people around him joking at him. And Lord Chaitanya approached him nearby and saw that this Brahman Vaishnava, he is reciting some verses from Bhagavad Gita, but he was shedding tears of ecstatic love. So Mahaprabhu asked him, "My dear sir, what makes you feel such ecstatic love? Which portion of Bhagavad Gita is invoking such love in your heart, such transcendental pleasure in your heart?" And this man said, I am an uneducated fool who does not have proper knowledge of Sanskrit. Sometimes I read some of the verses correctly and sometimes I commit mistake. But anyway, I continue reading this Bhagavad Gita because my spiritual master has ordered me to read Bhagavad Gita every day. So I do so. And Mahaprabhu saw that although people were joking at him, this Brahmana was not at all disturbed. And he was enthusiastically reading and his eyes were brimming with tears. Because when one is engaged in devotional service, when one experiences a higher taste, then one is not at all disturbed. When one gets a higher taste of devotional service, one is not at all disturbed even when people mock at a person, joke at a person, even when people insult a person. One does not get affected. We all can test ourselves. When somebody insults us, how do we feel? If we become annoyed or if we try to become defensive, then we are not yet very advanced in devotional service. In 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Tulya ninda stutir mauni santushto yena kena chit aniketastera matir bhakti manne priyo naraka. Tulya ninda stutir mauni. One should see Ninda and Stuti to be equal. When can we see it equal? When we are experiencing the highest ecstasy of devotional service. Then we will not care for anybody's insult or anybody's praise. One is totally absorbed in devotion to God. That was the condition of this Brahman. He was so absorbed in Bhagavad Gita that although people are looking, mocking at him, he never cared for them. He just was totally absorbed and was weeping tears. And he told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that although I don't understand much, when I open the book and I read Bhagavad Gita, immediately the thought of Lord Krishna sitting in the chariot comes to me. Lord Krishna is sitting in the chariot in his beautiful bluish blackish complexion. And Arjuna is standing and Lord Krishna is giving such wonderful good advice to Arjuna. And Arjuna is hearing those instructions. And when I see these features of Lord Krishna, when it comes to my mind, I cannot control my tears. He said, how kind is the Lord? So wonderfully giving instruction to Arjuna. So when Mahaprabhu heard it, he said, you are an authority in Bhagavad Gita. And the purport what you said just now, that constitutes the ultimate religion, ultimate religious principles. There is nothing beyond this. You have understood the essence of all scriptures. And saying this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him. And the Brahmana immediately fell on the ground and clasped the feet of Mahaprabhu to his chest and wept tears bitterly. And when he stood up, he told Mahaprabhu that now I have understood that you are none other than the same Krishna who has appeared in this world. He said, as he stood up immediately. You see, Lord says here, when you do bhajatam priti purvakam, immediately there is dadami buddhi yogam tam. When this Brahmana was calling for Krishna within his own heart with fervent prayers, thinking of Krishna, shedding tears, then Krishna came there in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Krishna voluntarily comes and he wants to have some encounter with this devotee. Krishna likes to have some encounter with his own devotees. And he not only gave him darshan, the Lord embraced him. And the beauty is, Lord not only embraced him and appreciate this devotional service, but although this Brahmana was not considered to be so intelligent by other people, at once the knowledge about the Lord's supremacy got awakened in his heart. As soon as he fell on the ground and clasped the feet of Mahaprabhu, at once he stood up and said, you are none other than Krishna. I know it very well. So this is the beauty of how Lord reciprocates this devotee. The devotee showers love on the Lord and the Lord gives him transcendental wisdom from within, in the heart of the devotee. And Mahaprabhu revealed more about himself to him and told him not to tell this truth to anybody, that he is the Supreme Personality of God. And for the next 4 months when Mahaprabhu stayed, he kept this Brahman with him. This Brahman was performing devotional service in great transcendental ecstasy, deep in tears.
hair standing on end, body trembling. He spent all his time with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performing devotion service, and he became a very great Vaishnava. In this way, when one performs devotion service with one's heart and soul, here Prabhupada writes here, what is the meaning of this verse? In a few sentences he explains towards the end. The last para he explains in the purport. A person may have a bona fide spiritual master and may be attached to a spiritual organization, but still it is not intelligent enough to make progress. Then Krishna from within gives him instructions so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. The qualification is that a person always, see, this is a qualification which is very important for all of us to know. A person always engage himself in Krishna consciousness and with love and devotion render all kinds of services. He should perform some sort of work for Krishna, and that work should be done with love. This is the definition, very simple definition. He should perform some sort of work for Krishna, and that work should be done with love. If a devotee is not intelligent enough to make progress in the path of self-realization, but is sincere and devoted to the activities of bhakti, then Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately attain him. This is the essence of this verse, which says that we should do work for Krishna, number one, and we should do it with as much love as we can put in within our capacity. And thirdly, even if we lack intelligence in spiritual life, but if there is sincerity and devotion, then Lord will give us the intelligence from within. So one is not expected to possess very great intelligence in the path of bhakti. But if one has sincerity and devotion, that is good enough. That will serve the purpose. One can achieve everything in life simply by having sincerity and devotion, not duplicity or wicked-mindedness. Did I tell you this last class? I don't remember whether I told you. It is said one should keep God within and Guru above and mind clear and heart clean. So, four things I said. You remember I said this? I told the students again. So, these four things if we do, then we can be sincere. One should keep God within. How can you keep God within your heart? Is there not God in everyone's heart? Then what is the meaning of keeping God within? We have to become aware of the presence of the Lord in the heart. Just like the verse says, Bhavad Vida Bhagavata Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirtha Niswa Antasthena Kadabrita. Sva Antasthena. So this verse is quoted in glorification of Vidura. So, Sva Antasthena Kadabrita. Those great devotees who are carrying the Lord in their hearts from place to place, what they do Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani. Wherever they put the lotus feet, that place becomes a holy place. But who are those people? Those who carry the Lord in the heart. Actually, every living entity is carrying the Lord in the heart. But this verse shows that those people who have become awakened to that reality, they are actually the ones who are carrying the Lord in the heart. So although Lord is present in everyone's heart, everyone has not become awakened to the reality. Everyone is sleeping. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, jiva jago, he said. Because everyone is sleeping to this reality. So we have to have God within, which means we have to awaken the fact. That's why we put tilak in our body, which means I accept that there is a Lord in my heart, Paramatma Supasoul, who is Antaryami, the supreme witness of all my deeds. So by putting tilak in the body, we accept that this body is a temple where the Lord is residing, resides me. And then we also admit that Lord is watching me, and I will refine my thought, word and deed, everything I speak and everything I think and act. So we are agreeing to that. Then we are keeping God within. Then that's the meaning of that. And one should keep Guru above. Means one should be submissive to the spiritual master. One should not ignore the spiritual master. One should not act whimsically. One should not protest against the Guru's instruction. Or one should not accept Guru for a fashion and not follow his instructions. And one should not accept initiation and break the regulative principles. So keeping Guru above means faithfully following the instructions of the spiritual master. Especially, the Guru is actually one who is supposed to deliver us from the material world to the spiritual world. And if a disciple is faithfully following his instructions and living a pure life, then Guru will be very pleased and he will shower his blessings on the disciple. So we should keep the Guru above. And it is said one should keep the mind clear. What is the meaning of keeping the mind clear? Mind is always agitated by materialistic desires. All the time. Mind is not clear, but always mind is hazy. Due to several material desires superimposed over one another. There are small desires, big desires, bigger desires, much bigger desires, gigantic desires, which are devouring us. So such a mind which is not clear has to be cleaned by chanting. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava mahadavadhyam nirvapanam. So mind has to become clear. And mind should not be agitated by focusing the mind on the titillating sense objects. So one should keep distance from titillating sense objects to keep the mind unagitated and cool. As Krishna explains in 6th chapter, Yatra Uparamate Chittam Niruddham Yoga Sevaya. Means you have to calm down the raging mind. By living a very sattvic life, taking sattvic ahar that is offered to Krishna, wearing sattvic dress that does not agitate the other people, you wear simple dress. By leading a sattvic lifestyle where we have time for God, time for our inner development, not just developing external muscles, developing our inner spiritual strength. So then one can gradually make the mind clear and make the mind focus on God very nicely. And the heart should be clean, it is said, which means the heart should be free from duplicity and wicked nature. Actually, mind and heart are often used in each other's place, but heart is a more deeper thing than the mind. Mind is man, but heart is chitta. That's why Krishna uses the word mat, chitta, mat, gata, prana. Mat, mana also uses another place, but here he uses mat, chitta. Chitta means one should give our heart to Krishna. So, the chitta, the core of the heart should be clean. Prahlad Maharaj explains, the core of the heart of a materialistic person is filled with pictures of all his family members, relatives, and friends, and colleagues and people in society. The core of the heart. Some people have it in the core of the heart, some people have it in their purse also. When they take out the purse, they have the photos of all their dear and near relatives. So the core of the heart of a materialistic person is always filled with varieties of plans and ideas like that. So we have to make our heart clean. Especially, we have to give up the wicked-mindedness or duplicity, which means, like it is said, you know, ये माना दुर्माति संसार भीतर बढ़िया चीनो आम नहीं ये माना दुर्माति है दुर्माति में तो विकेट नहीं लगता. So if we do these things, then gradually one will see that one's progress begins. One can begin to progress. Sincerity, devotion, these are actually the qualifications for attracting the mercy of Krishna, not intelligence. One may be very learned in the scriptures and shastras, but if one lacks sincerity and devotion, then one cannot attract Krishna. Because Krishna is more intelligent than us. Krishna is the most intelligent. He says, Buddhir Buddhimatamasmi. He says, I am the intelligence of the intelligent. And he is the reservoir of all intelligence. So, we cannot make a show off to Krishna with our intelligence. If we try to do so, it would be like a glowworm showing off to the sun. Brahmaji compared himself to a glowworm in front of the sun in the morning daylight. What would be the power of the glowworm in front of the sun? So our intelligence is tiny, even if we study all the Vedic scriptures in the entire lifetime. But something very prominent that Krishna looks to in all the living entities is their sincerity and devotion to him. Then that touches him. And one can get everything from Krishna if one does that. That's like when Sudama, the florist, he met Krishna when Krishna was entering Mathura. He already had the devotion to Krishna. As soon as he saw Krishna Balaram coming, immediately he welcomed both of them into his house. He offered them, he bowed down to them, he
made them sit in a proper sitting place and glorified both of them. He told them that by your coming to my house today, my entire house has become purified. All my forefathers have blessed me by your visit. And please tell me any service that I could render for you. Then he told his servant to go and bring betel nuts, flour, sandalwood pulp and everything, and offered all of them to Krishna, Balaram. Both the lords were very pleased. And then he made two beautiful garlands, one for Krishna, one for Balaram, and he offered them. The Lord wanted to offer something in return. Lord is a Varadarshava who gives benedictions to everyone. But you know what he asked? He told the Lord, please bless me that I will never give up your devotional service. I will eternally be your devotee. I will eternally remain your servant. Two benedictions he asked. This was one. Another one he asked, let me always perform welfare activities for the benefit of all the souls. Let me distribute Krishna consciousness to everyone. And besides this too, he didn't want anything. But then the Lord gave him many benedictions. Lord told him that I bless you that you will achieve what you asked from me now. And besides that, you will get all material prosperity while being in this world. And you will have a long duration of life. And you will lead a happy life even while being in this world. So Lord gave him all the blessings. Everything that one may aspire or one may not even know, God offered him everything. So, this kind of simple devotion is very much appreciated by the Lord. And I was telling a few minutes ago about the sacrifice part, which is also expected in the Preeti. In the same time when Lord was going, when he met Kubja, she was carrying sandalwood pulp for Kamsa. And she knew that if she would give away the sandalwood pulp to somebody else, then Kamsa would be wild on her. And she was ready to tolerate the anger of Kamsa. When she saw Krishna Balaram, she took the sandalwood pulp and applied on their bodies. This is love. She felt so much attraction to Krishna and Balaram. She applied all the sandalwood pulp on their bodies. And she was ready to get any punishment that Kamsa would give her. Because she offered like this, although she looked like an old lady with a hunchback, Lord became so pleased. At once the Lord changed her into a very beautiful looking young girl. Similarly, all of us, we are carrying bags of sin on our back. Although we are carrying lot of sin on our back and gradually suffering them in our life, but as Kubja did, with a little bit of resources what we have, develop an attraction for Krishna and offer him, then exactly like Kubja became beautiful girl, similarly you will become beautiful in devotional service. So who is beautiful? Beautiful is not the face cut or something. Like Prabhupada is called as the most beautiful by many of his followers. What is the beauty in a person? His devotion to Krishna. When somebody gives up selfish attitude of satisfying one's own mind and senses, but is a selfless devotee of Krishna. He or she wants to just love Krishna and serve Radha and Krishna without any motivation. Then they become very beautiful for everyone to see. There is a different kind of beauty that one can see by that. It becomes like a magnet which attracts iron filings. Similarly, Prabhupada was attracting so many people in the world because of that loving devotion. So, Kubja also had simple devotion and she sacrificed the sandalwood pulp for Krishna and Balaram, despite the understanding that she will be punished by Kamsa. So that kind of sacrifice is expected in Preeti. The topmost platform of Preeti is exhibited by the gopis of Vrindavan, headed by Srimati Radharani. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in the Ratayatra in front of the cart, he sang some songs which were understood only by Swarup Damodar and nobody else. When the Lord was singing, some of the meaning of the songs are explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. These are very advanced topics that are actually meant for conversation between the Paramahamsas. But I will repeat some of those prayers only for my purification. We may understand a bits and pieces of it, and some of them we may not understand. But whatever we understand and whatever touches our heart, maybe that will kindle some devotion in our heart. He was praying exactly in the mood of Srimati Radharani, praying to Krishna in Kurukshetra. Because the Jagannath Rath Yatra is nothing but bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. So Srimati Radharani is praying to Krishna. She is telling, my dear Krishna, this is the very same moonlit night of the Chaitra month, and the jasmine flowers, the fragrance of the jasmine flowers are also present, and the breeze that is coming from the Kadamba forest is so soothing to the heart, and I am the same Srimati Radharani and you are the same Krishna, but I am not able to experience the joy of Vrindavan here. Here at Kurukshetra, I am hearing the sounds of the elephants and the horses and the rattling chariots and so many hundreds and thousands of soldiers, men. In Vrindavan, there are beautiful forests and beautiful gardens filled with flowers and chirping birds and humming bees and Yamuna flowing. What a pleasant atmosphere. And here I am seeing you accompanied by so many soldiers following you, and you are wearing the dress of a king. Whereas in Vrindavan, you are looking like a simple covered boy, and you are accompanied by a beautiful flute, and you are charming the hearts of everyone simply by playing on the flute. And all gopis in Vrindavan and all other devotees of yours are hankering to meet you for a long time, and day after day they are waiting to render service to you. But instead of you coming, you sent your messenger Uddhava there to teach us speculative knowledge and the path of mystic yoga. We gopis are hardly interested in the path of jnana or yoga, and we are not here to meditate upon your form as you taught through Uddhava. You have sent a message to us that we should sit and meditate upon your lotus feet. We are not meant for that. In fact, we try to forget you by sitting in meditation, and although we sincerely endeavor to forget you, we could not forget you. We try to sit in meditation and fill up our hearts with various material desires of the material world, so that by replacing your thought with those material desires, we will somehow or other try to enjoy the material world, just like anybody else in this world. But we could not experience any joy in that. Your thought is constantly haunting us. In fact, when you sent Uddhava to give this message to all of us that you all become like yogis and worship me in devotion, all the gopis only became more angry with you for this kind of advice from you. Krishna, here all the devotees are surprised. How is it that Krishna has forgotten Vrindavan, his own land? How did you forget Govardhan? How did you forget the forest of Vrindavan? How did you forget your very dear mother and father and their covered boyfriends and all the gopis? In fact, we always have observed you that you are very merciful, you are very kind and very loving, and you are the most purest of the pure, and we cannot find any fault in you. And because you have forgotten us, that means that it is only owing to our own misfortune. How is it that such a personality like you can forget us? It is not for me or for the gopis that I am asking you why you didn't come to Vrindavan. Think of your weeping mother, and think of your father, and think of your covered friends. And they all have been waiting day after day, month after month, year after year, awaiting to meet you. How is it that you have totally forgotten Vrindavan? In this way, Srimati Radharani offered many prayers. In one of the prayers, he says that my heart is Vrindavan. My mind and my heart is Vrindavan. And unless you are in Vrindavan, we cannot experience the same joy which we experienced in our pastimes in Vrindavan. By seeing this battlefield of Kurukshetra and all that, and you yourself with the dress of a king, we don't experience anything. So she said, at last, so we beg you at the lotus feet, please kindly return back to Vrindavan. And when Krishna heard about the loving ecstasy of his devotees in Vrindavan, he immediately his mind and heart became perturbed, and he became disturbed by loving transcendental ecstasy. And Krishna started weeping tears. And he spoke back in return. He said, "You do not know how much I am crying in the day and night, thinking of my devotees in Vrindavan. I cannot forget them for even one moment. At every moment, the thoughts of my devotees in Vrindavan always comes to my heart. My mother, my father, my cowherd friends, and the cows and calves, and all the gopis, and especially you, the chief of all the gopis. How can I forget all of you? How is it ever possible? It's impossible. And I have been meditating on all of you all the time. In fact, it is because of that I pray to Lord Narayana that I will be able to appear in Vrindavan every day and be in all of your presence. And that is why in Vrindavan you never find that you are missing me. You always feel my presence in Vrindavan." That is saying, Vrindavanam parityaja padamekam na gacchati, it is said. Krishna does not leave Vrindavan, even he does not take one step out of Vrindavan. So you feel my presence in Vrindavan because I pray to Lord Narayana and I appear in Vrindavan every day so that you all can continue to live. Otherwise I know very well that if I don't appear in Vrindavan, you will all perish because that I am appearing every day. Now I am praying that I will be able to be manifest not only to you, who is the most beloved, but I will pray that I appear for everyone in Vrindavan. Actually, my only purpose of staying here is to kill two or four demons who are still left out. They are not yet killed. And I don't want them to become a source of disturbance for the devotees in Vrindavan. And because of all of your intense love for me, I don't think it is going to take more than 10 or 20 days to finish off all these demons. And after that, very soon I will rush back to Vrindavan to be with all of you in the mood of Vrindavan. So of course the Lord says this all the time. He doesn't return. And this is the Lord's prayer. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was reciting these songs which meant these prayers. And he was reciting these prayers and torrents and torrents of tears were coming from his eyes. And he was dancing in great transcendental ecstasy. Like that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Sometimes, purposefully he would go by the side of the rat and go behind the rat. And the rat would stop. And again when the Lord keeps dancing and comes in front of the rat, then the rat would move. By this, Lord Jagannath wanted to show that I have not forgotten you. So he wanted to show, Lord Krishna wants to show Srimati Radharani that when you go by the side and you go behind me, it's not that I will ignore you and I will proceed on my way. I have my attention. In the same way, Lord Jagannath and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had this transcendental exchange between them. Very wonderful. So Lord Jagannath is ecstatic Krishna. Krishna, who is having a perturbed mind owing to transcendental ecstasy. That is Lord Jagannath with his broad eyes. He is stunned by hearing the love of the Vrindavan Vasis, Vrajavasis for him. He is totally stunned in transcendental ecstasy. So these songs are the height of preeti that we are talking today. You may understand some of them. If you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are so many of them. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he related with Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, but he behaves in the mood of Srimati Radharani, extending love for Krishna like that. So one guru in ISKCON, Devamrit Swami, he was telling, Chaitanya Charitamrita scripture is capable of awarding Krishna Prema to ISKCON devotees. He said, if anybody wants Krishna Prema, they should read Chaitanya Charitamrita, he said. Because after you finish Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, if you go to Chaitanya Charitamrita, reading the prayers of devotees for the Lord and how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited the mood of a devotee, one's heart has to melt. If the heart doesn't melt, it remains a stone. It has to melt when you come to Chaitanya Charitamrita. Like that. Then one can get a glimpse of what this preeti is. In this way, when even one exhibits a drop of this preeti, drop of this devotion to the Lord, then one makes some progress in spiritual life. We have three stages in chanting: Aparadhana, Namabhas and Shuddhanam. If we chant even one Shuddhanam, then we will achieve Krishna prema. We will never come back to this material world. Even once we chant Krishna's name with great aspiration and pure light, then one can achieve the Krishna loka by that. But that is a very advanced stage. But one should endeavor to go from Aparadhanam to the Namabhas. What is the difference between the two? In Aparadhanam, we commit many offenses against the holy name, but we don't realize them. We just go on mindlessly chanting with the offenses. But in Namabhas, we regret for our offenses. And we are endeavoring to improve. And we are having a longing to improve. And we have a longing to improve the quality of chanting and think of Krishna more better. So one can come to that stage. One can come to the stage of Namabhas only if one reads the scriptures like that, hears from devotees, and develops an attraction to achieve Krishna. Otherwise, one just becomes complacent and just goes on chanting mindlessly without endeavoring. So this word Priti is very relevant in this connection, because when we are trying to promote ourselves from the Aparadhanam to the Namabhas stage, what makes a difference is, again, that longing. In our everyday sadhana, when we are chanting, if we are not chanting with this longing to improve our chanting, then we will hardly get any benefit. One time Prabhupada said, you can even chant for 10,000 years, you won't get any benefit, he said. So it's very discouraging and shocking. You chant for 10,000 years, sometimes often we hear that chanting is very easy, and we can go back to Godhead and all very easily. But Prabhupada also said the other thing, that if you mindlessly chant, just namakara bahuhaya namanahihaya, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, namakshara bahuhaya namanahihaya. Although you chant many times, but you are not paying attention, you don't have any bhavana, and you don't even worry about it. That is the third, is the worst part of it. If you don't have bhav, it's alright. If you are not having attention, it is alright. But if you are not worrying about it, that is a big disease. One should worry. That how can I improve my chanting? So, I thought of speaking a few words on chanting, because that is something very practical for us. We cannot pray the prayers of Srimati Radharani for Krishna. But we can work on improving our chanting, so that helps in developing a right attitude. Like before we chant, one should learn to give up all the designations, so that one can pay full attention to the holy name. Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tatparatve nirmalam. Sarvopadi vinirmuktam means we have to give up all designations. For that, we can chant this prayer. What is the prayer? Naham vikro nacanarapate napi vaishyo nashudro. So I am not a Brahmin, I am not Kshatriya, I am not a Vaishya, I am not a... I used to say to our devotees, Naham president, Naham department head, Naham temple commander, Naham Mataji, Naham Prabhuji, Naham advanced devotee. You can say all that. We are none of this. So we are not any of this. We have to remove all these false designations which are unnecessarily making us proud. And also there is a Bhuta Shuddhi prayers which we chant before entering into the deity room. And if one deeply contemplates on that, then one can easily become free from designations. The prayer says, I am originally the eternal servant of Krishna in the spiritual world. But somehow or other I have become inimical towards him, due to which I have fallen down into this material world. And having become inimical of him, I have been wandering in this material world, birth after birth, in different species, burning in the fire of material existence for so many millions of lifetimes. Due to some unimaginable good fortune, I have come across my spiritual master in my life, who again reminded me of Krishna and reminded me that I am an eternal servant of Krishna. And he has reinstated me in this position of being a servant of Krishna. Because of it, now I am able to render some service to Krishna through him. So I am extremely fortunate for getting this opportunity. So let me be reinstated in this position forever and render service to Krishna and return back to him. So this is actually begging permission from the Guru for addressing the deities. So before that we chant this prayer. So this prayer also helps us. the last part of it, the prayer says, I am actually a pure spirit soul who is completely aloof from grass and subtle material coverings. Apart from grass and subtle material coverings. But now that I have covered over with this body and mind and all kinds of coverings, I am identifying with them and I am suffering in this world. So let me remember that I am Jivarasar Pai Krishna and Nekadas. In that mode, let me offer this service to Krishna. Gopi Vartu Padakamalayor Dasa Dasa Anadas. In that mode, let me enter into the deity room as a naked soul, not covered over with all this foolish, imaginary false designation. Give up all that and let me enter the deity room and offer service to my Guru, and then Guru will offer it to Krishna Radharani through the Acharya Parampara. Like that. So this is what wants you to, before chanting, this kind of prayer. And during the chanting, one is supposed to imbibe a certain type of mood. That is, Sanat Kumar Samhita offers five prayers, very simple prayers. The first prayer talks about freedom from bondage. It says, oh my dear Sri Radha and Krishna, please free me from all the bondage of this world, like this relatives and friends and colleagues and so many encumbrances. Please free me from all this. Free me from the cycle of birth and death. This is the first prayer, begging the Lord to free us from bondage. Actually, I remember this five Vaishnava songs. Otherwise, it's difficult to remember this order. You have heard this song, a very famous song. Dukhe sagare basiye chhi utari jaane. It says, no? He says in that song, there's a great tufan. There's a great whirl, there's a great storm in the ocean, and the storm will knock me down. If you don't help me to cross over this ocean, I fall at your feet. Please kindly help me to cross over this greatest storm, like material world and the vast ocean of material existence. Help me to cross over by faithfully being able to follow the religious principles and everything. That is the first prayer. Second prayer, after freedom from bondage, then he is praying that instead of taking these things and enjoying myself, what shall I do? Let me take them and offer them to you. Manas deho geho yo kichu mo arpilu tuva pade nanda kisho. In the same way he is praying that let me offer my family, my children, my wealth and resources and everything in your service. I am offering them all at your feet. Now you do whatever you want with them. That is offering. This is the second thing. Third thing is praying that, my dear Lord, I am a great offender against the Holy Name, a blasphemer, and I have no shelter in this world, and I am wandering here and there, going to the blasphemy, I am wandering here and there suffering. Please give me shelter at your lotus feet. So this is begging the shelter of the Lord at his lotus feet. You heard this song? Ekono bojino prabhu tumara tara. So this is taking shelter at the Lord's lotus feet. Then fourthly, he is saying, not only I am offering all these things around me to you, I want to offer my body, mind and words to you. Even my own body, my mind, my words, everything I am offering to you. What is it, song? That he says, I offer my body, mind and words to you. Sarasatumari. Some song you can remember like that. He's offering, first he's offering the things around him, now he's offering his own body, mind and words to him. And he says, please kindly accept it and use me in the way you want. And then lastly he's saying, not only I'm just taking shelter and doing all these things, lastly he's asking, oh Sri Krishna, who is the master of Radha, and oh Srimati Radha, and who is beloved of Krishna, please engage me in your devotion service. Please engage me in your devotional service. Don't reject me, but engage me in your service. So, these five prayers, if you know these five, there are unlimited shlokas and Vaishnava songs for each of these settings. So what we should do is take the prayer, some of the verses are already prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam. And others are in the form of verses. So we should learn to convert these verses into prayers. For example, I'll give one example. Then we will ask some devotees how they can. The Lord says, Upadrishta Anumanta Jabhartha Bhokta Maheshwara Paramatmeti Chapyukto Dehesmin Purushaparaha. So you all know the meaning of this. Upadrishta means director. Anumanta means permitter. Bhartha Bhokta is the maintainer, controller. Maheshwara is the supreme controller. Paramatmeti Chapyukto, his name is Paramatma. Dehesmin Purushaparaha is present in everyone's body. So this is what the translation says. Now how we can make it into a prayer? Oh my dear Lord, who is dwelling in the heart of everyone. Without your permission, nothing happens in this world. In fact, you are the witness in the heart of everyone. And you are sanctioning pleasures and pains in all of our hearts. In fact, nothing can move without your will. And I am helpless. I have no strength. I have no intelligence. I fall at your feet. You please orchestrate me in such a way that I will always be able to attentively chant your holy name. You can pray like that. So it is a shloka, but you can offer it as a prayer. Same thing we can do with any other prayer. Like for example, God says, Tesham satati yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mamupayantite. So how will you convert into a prayer? How will you do that? Somebody can tell it as a prayer. Make a prayer out of this, yeah? Let me always remember you. Yeah, correct. Anybody else? My dear Lord, you are so much full that one who engages in your service, gets a regular. So don't make it a passive voice. Don't make it for somebody else. Make it for yourself. You are praying to the Lord. How will you pray? Exactly. So you declare your fallen condition. You say that, my dear Lord, I am not very intelligent, you know, and I don't have so much power. I can easily be swayed by Maya. Little bit of Maya and I am down immediately. That is my condition. I am not very strong. Neither do I have intelligence, nor do I associate with devotees. I am always afraid of devotees and I always like associating with demons. I always like Maya and I hate Krishna. That is my condition. But somehow or other I have heard in the scriptures that those who engage in your devotional service, even little bit, what you do? Rami Buddhi Yogantam. You give them the intelligence. So please give me also a little intelligence. So that I will firmly clasp your lotus feet. I will never leave you. Convert it into prayer. So in this way, these prayers what we recited are a few prayers. There are many prayers like that in Srimad Bhagavatam. I used to recite one prayer of Rukmini, very famous prayer. She prays, Yasyangri pankaja rajasnapanam mahanto She's praying, oh lotus eyed one. Great personalities like Shiva, in order to eradicate the ignorance in their hearts, they are taking the saffron particles of your lotus feet and applying on their heads, like Brahma and Shiva and such personalities. And if I cannot achieve your mercy in this very life, I am ready to die 100 times and perform severe penances and austerities for you. Please do not reject me. I want to achieve your lotus feet. Rukmini's prayer to Krishna. So we can pray that. Also this, this Ayinanda Tanuja Kinkaram. Very wonderful prayer. Ayinanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitam Maam Vishame Bhavam Budav Tupayatava Pada Pankaja Sita Duli Sadrisham Vichintaya. Oh my dear Lord, O son of Nanda Maharaj, I Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram, somehow or other I have fallen into this ocean of death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the millions of particles at your lotus feet. So, you all will be inspired by different prayers. Some of them are readily available as prayers. And whichever touches our heart, we should offer those prayers fervently. See, in your awakened state, like when you are going in front of the deities, you offer these prayers. While walking in the road, while going, while on the bus stop, while coming to program, going here. Keep offering these prayers, keep singing them, and keep contemplating on them, meditating on them. So, we have to absorb ourselves in the Lord's thought like that. And then, we will find, we will become very holy. We will internally become very holy. And then when we chant the holy names in the morning, then the chanting will have its potency. It will be really like a gun with a bullet. Not tuk-tuk. rarely that we bother in chanting. When we are offering, we are doing chanting with the prayer of gratitude. And how should we complete chanting after the 16 rounds are over? Then we should seek forgiveness for having committed offenses against the Holy Name. I was telling this prayers last time also. I will repeat it. What is that verse? All of you repeat that verse. I'll say that. Aparada sahasrani kriyante aharnisham maya dasohamiti mam matva kshamasva madhusudana. Actually, there are many nice prayers like this. The meaning is simple. Aparada sahasrani means I have committed thousands of offenses while chanting your name, my dear Lord. Day and night I commit offenses. Accepting me as your eternal servant, please kindly forgive me from all these offenses. There are some similar words in Suprabhatam also. Ajnanina, it begins with Ajnanina. Anybody knows that? Ajnanina maya doshan asheshan vihitan hare chamasvattam chamasvattam shaila shesha shikhamane. Krishna Prabhu is there? He is not there. This is the prayer. It says Ajnanina means without knowledge. No? Ajnanina maya, by me. Doshan means false. Asheshan means unlimited, many, many. Vihitan hare, thank Lord. Kshamasvattam, kshamasvattam, please forgive me. Kshamasvattam, kshamasvattam, please forgive me. Two times it is. Shesha Shaila Shikamani, one who lies on the Ananta Shesha, please forgive me, he said. So, we should offer such prayers. Actually, we should fall prostrate obeisances on the ground and to the Holy Name. We should offer obeisances and pray to the Lord, begging Him to remove all the offenses. There is another very wonderful verse. It says, Sthitir Yatra, Sthitir Seva, Gatir Yatra, Smritish Chinta, what is the word? Okay, if I tell the meaning, probably I'll remember. It says, Sthitir, Seva, the first is a Seva. He says, let my being be devotional service to you. That means, I should not be sitting or standing at any place without doing anything. I should always be doing service to you. And then he says, Gatir Yatra. If I start to move from one place to another, let that become a pilgrimage. That means, let me go to some devotee's house or let me go to temple. Let me not go anywhere else. Gatir Yatra. And then he says, Smritish Chinta. If at all I have any thought in my mind, let that be your remembrance. And Stutir Vachaha, he says. Which means anything that comes out of my mouth, let that be your glorification. These four things are there. And then he says, in this way, my dear Lord, let my whole existence become pure and sanctified. So we can pray like this. And we should not actually just be waiting to finish the last round and jump up and run away with that every day's work. Rather, we should offer a very personal prayer at the end. Like for example, we could pray five things you could pray when you are getting up from chanting. One is you could pray, my dear Shri Radha and Krishna, I have chanted the 16 rounds for your pleasure with the best of my consciousness. Whatever best I could put, I have chanted these rounds for your pleasure. Please accept it. So by saying like this, you are telling the Lord that I am doing this activity for your pleasure. Not that we are demanding, what about my happiness? I am not feeling happy when I chant. No, we are performing for the Lord's pleasure. So we can declare it to the Lord at the end. We can tell Him. And then you can say, in the course of my chanting, I committed many, many offenses. Please kindly forgive me. Secondly, we can pray like that. Thirdly, we can pray that, my dear Lord, please always engage me only in your service. And please teach me how I can increase my attachment and attraction for you. And fourthly, we can pray, please save me from Maya. And don't allow me to get swayed away by Maya. And finally, we should pray that let my thoughts, words and deeds today be flooded with your name, form, pastimes, qualities and activities. All day, from morning to night. Let today pass in a very spiritual way. Like that we can pray. And then we can go ahead with our work. In this way, we can do full justice to also chanting every day. Then we can develop the priti, develop that attraction for God over a period of time. Every day will be a day that brings us closer to Krishna, closer and closer. And that way we will make the great progress in spiritual life by performing devotional service very consciously. Also the Lord says, Dadame buddhi yogam tam yena mamupayantate. I give them the buddhi to come to me. Whoever it be, wherever they are. Because the Lord is seated in the heart, so He will give that knowledge. One time, a man, somewhere close to Miami it happened. He left the city and he went to a hillside because he had heard about Indian yogis and all. So on a hilltop, he made a kutir for himself. And inside the kutir was living and trying to do some so-called meditation. And he was eating only roots and herbs, living a very, very austere life. One day, another gentleman, he came to the Miami airport. And our Harishna devotees were distributing books there. And they gave him this Krishna book. He got it. And then while passing through this road from Miami to another place called Equator, he was passing by. For some reason, he had to stop on the way. He stopped. And then he wanted some water. He was hungry. So he was searching here and there. He was also going for trekking in those mountains. So when he was going for trekking in those mountains, he found his cottage. Then he went there to ask for some water and food. And that yogi was there. So he drank water and ate food and stayed with him. And somehow he developed some friendship with him. So he stayed there for a couple of days or so. And while going, he wanted to give some gift to his friend. So he gave him this Krishna book. And that fellow took it. And after this fellow went away, that person started reading this book, Krishna book. So within a short time, he completed the whole book. And he became so enlightened that immediately came down the mountain searching for ISKCON center. And then later on he became Kalpataru Das in ISKCON. And he became a full-time devotee in ISKCON. So consider this person. Sometimes people ask, what will, you know, you all are teaching here in cities, what will happen to somebody living in Congo forest, you know, as a tribal? How is he going to understand Krishna? No, anybody in any part of the world, if they have sincerity of heart and their devotion to God, even a bit, the Lord will make arrangements. It is Lord's problem, not our problem. He make arrangements to bring us to the right path. People from all over the globe have come to ISKCON and come close to devotees like that. Similarly, sometimes you will find the will of providence works in such a way that you may feel that a person may not become a devotee. But it is the Lord who orchestrates everyone's life. So he is capable of changing the will of providence also, if he wants. He can do that. One devotee, one Ujjwala Nilamani Prabhu, he was distributing books. I think this was in Switzerland, I think. In Switzerland, he was distributing books. So he was distributing books in German language. So once when he went to the marketplace, one student saw this Harikrishna devotee and he came running. And then he said, I want to buy a book from you. And then he showed all the books and he saw all the different books and he said, oh, I like all these books so much, but I want to buy one, but I don't have any money with me. I have some money with me. I have to buy some things in the shop, and if some money is left, then I'll buy from you. So please don't go anywhere. You just wait here, he told him. And this man agreed and he waited. And this boy went inside the shop. Then this devotee said to himself, this is one another person, you know. And I have met so many people like this, you know, who say I will come and they'll never turn up, you know. So after some time, this devotee went away. And some days passed by. And then he went to some neighborhood village. So where he came across some college, and opposite the college there was some hostel. So he thought, maybe I will go to room and distribute. So when he went to the first room in the morning about 10:30, 11, as soon as the boy opened the room, it was the same boy whom he found in the marketplace. And this boy was standing. And this devotee, he called him inside the room, he made him sit. And he said, why did you go away the other day? I wanted the books desperately. Why you didn't give me? And then he said, even today at 10:30 I never remain in my room. Generally we had to go to college at 9. Today our first teacher, she got a headache, so she has given us off. So that's how I am remaining in the room. Somehow by divine arrangement. And he saw all the books and he took the Nectar of Devotion book. And he went through the book. Later on he read the book. After several years, the same devotee who distributed the book to him, when he went to another town, he went to the local ISKCON temple. And then he found the devotee, this boy had become a full-time devotee there, in the temple. He was living
would get such intelligent ideas while distributing books. According to people, she would speak something relevant to them. So when she was distributing books, she came across a bank teller, the cashier. You know what she told him? As soon as she came across the cashier, she said, "This Bhagavad Gita is just meant for you," she said. "Because, you know, in your bank, you are receiving so much cash and you are not elated. And you are giving away so much cash and you are not feeling sorrowful. In the same way, in your life also, you are receiving so much happiness and you are not elated and you are suffering so much in your life, you are not sorrowful. Why? Because you are not a part of this world. Your salary comes from the spiritual world, which is love of Krishna." She said, when you love the Lord gives inspiration and you don't care for the sukha dukkha of this world. That man became so joyful, immediately took the book. Then she went to another place, she went to a university, and some boys were there, and one boy was a mathematics student. And she went to him and said, "Have you heard of this new mathematics? 1 plus 1 equal to 1. 1 minus 1 equal to 1. The boy was bewildered. And she said, "That you will come to know if you read this Yushopanishad. Om Purnamada, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnamudat." That boy immediately took the book. So, Lord gives inspiration to the devotees to speak the right thing at the right time if they are sincere. So we should never become proud that we can distribute a lot of books or we can preach more powerfully. As soon as we think that I have some power, like some devotees dress the deities very beautifully, they come back and say, "Just see, today I dress the deity." Or somebody has cooked very nicely. And the devotees are appreciating the prasad, they say, "See, prasad can be of this quality only when I cook, you know. Today is my cooking, that's why it is special, you know." So when we become foolishly proud like that, once we become proud, then Krishna will withdraw the energies from us, withdraw the talents away from us. But as long as we are surrendered to Him,